There's so many of you here today. I'm so nervous. How are you guys doing? Good? I feel like it's like 1,000 degrees in here. Are you guys hot? Okay, fine. It's just me. It's so hot right now. Hi. Hi. Okay. All right, let's just open up in a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just submit, Lord, this time under your authority right now. Father God, and we just claim, Lord, that, Father, as I preach, Lord, Father God, that it would be your words that I speak, Father God. Oh, Lord, and we pray for your spirit, Father God, for your word. The letter kills, but the spirit is the spirit that gives life, Lord. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, Father God, would begin to just sweep this place, Lord, Father God, with your presence, Lord. Father God, that you anoint me, your servant, Lord, Father God, to be bold and not to fear. Oh, Lord, Father God, but to speak out, Lord Jesus, what you placed on my heart, knowing that this message is not mine, but it's yours, Lord. Father God, so we praise you, Lord, and we just enthrone you over this place right now. In your son's mighty and precious name, we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Oh, you guys are so excited today. All right, so my message tonight is called pro-life. Pro-life. It was either that or abortion, and I thought pro-life was pretty, you know, uplifting. So pro-life it is. Maybe that title alone is kind of making you a little bit uncomfortable. Abortion is a heated topic, right? Especially in presidential, you know, campaigns. Abortion is something they always talk about and discuss, and, you know, all this drama follows it. And, you know, it's a little bit uncomfortable, but it's Friday fire. It's okay if we get uncomfortable, right? Yeah. All right, can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, so I'm going to spit a couple of facts at you before I just start my message. So approximately 42 million babies are murdered in 1 year worldwide. 42 million. That's 42 destinies gone. That means 115,000 per day. So even as we speak right now, there's something called the silent Holocaust. In Korea is not, you know, it's not like it's not going on in this country. It's going on in this country as well. Maybe more secret, but it's happening right here. See, unborn babies that are woven together by our Father, fearfully and wonderfully made, they're murdered before they could even take their first breath of life outside the womb. That's a tragedy, brothers and sisters. See, abortion is not God's will. Let me say that again. Abortion is not God's will. Despite the circumstances, no matter how careless it was, no matter how tragic, no matter how disgusting, it is never God's will for you to abort a child. So, I just wanted to make that clear before I started my message. If anyone has a problem with that, you know, read your Bible or talk to JM. All right? JM, he preached it to me, and he showed me a video that just tore me apart. But hallelujah. So, you know, I'm talking about abortion. Maybe some of you guys are like, what does that have to do with me? I ain't no baby daddy, and I am not no baby mama. All right? But listen, the topic of abortion, it concerns you. You know why? Because every single person in this room, we are guilty. And we're guilty, maybe not of physical abortion, but spiritual abortion. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. See, God, He is the creator of all life, and He plants a seed, a vision, a hope, a promise inside of us. And many times we are guilty of aborting it. See, giving up before we see it come to full fruition. The dictionary, it defines abortion like this: anything that fails to develop, progress, or mature. Can you think of something that God has placed inside of you that has failed to develop, progress, or mature? So promises in that way can be parallel to giving birth to a baby, right? It's not something that happens overnight. It's not an easy process. It takes time. It takes pain. It takes tears. But it's always God's will for us to persevere and never to abort until we see completion, fruition, life. So are you pregnant today? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and ask him that? You pregnant? You pregnant? Oh, we got some nervous looking people in this place right now. Oh Lord, we play for your grace. Hey. See, has God placed a vision inside of you? A vision to see your mother come to know the Lord? A vision to be used in, you know, foreign countries to spread the word of the gospel? A vision to open up an orphanage in North Korea? Has God planted a vision inside of you? Are you holding on to a promise right now? And brothers and sisters, you are pregnant. You are pregnant. I'll let you boys get over it right now. Hold on, let me give you a few seconds. Okay, we good to go? All right, good. Praise God. So over a year ago, I had a vision. Actually, it came to me in the form of a dream. Christian and I, we were dating for about 4 months, a little over 4 months. And our relationship between us, it was looking lovely. But what was going on outside, it wasn't so pretty. All right, I had a lot of issues with my family. They weren't very supportive about it because of, you know, various reasons, including things like, you know, I wasn't ready for a marriage. I wasn't ready for a relationship heading towards marriage. I wasn't able to handle being married to a missionary. And I definitely wasn't smart enough or experienced enough or old enough to make the right decision regarding my marriage. So I had some things coming against me, right? And over a year ago, we both had this trip, you know, planned to go to the States. And it wasn't something we planned together. It just happened that it overlapped. God's providence, you see. And we thought it was perfect time that we'd introduce each other to our parents. And so Christian, he left to the States before I did, and I was in Korea. And one night, I had this dream. I shared this dream with you guys already at open mic, but you're just going to hear it again. All right, so I titled this dream The Iron Swing. Sound familiar? If it doesn't, you guys need to pay attention more. All right, the iron swing. So here's a dream. On this dream, I was on a mission, okay? And I knew that I had to get to some point, and I was, like, going through all these things. And finally, it leads me to the place where I was, like, at this gap, right? And I knew in my heart that I had to get to the other side. This was the only way that I could continue. And I'm like, how am I supposed to cross this? And I look around, and I see that there's this iron swing contraption. So let me explain. So there is the swing, the bottom part, you know, the one that you sit on, right? And there was a part that was like a handlebar where you would just hold on your hands. Okay, so two parts. And Isis was with me. Isis is a sister. She just left for the States. I love you if you're listening, Isis. She was someone that God just placed in my life that just challenged me till the day she left. Beautiful sister. And she was there in my dream. And so I knew we had to cross this gap. And so I sit on the swing, I hold on to the handlebars, and I just start swinging my way across the gap. Like a couple of swings in, the seat part, it just flies under me, and all I'm left is with this handlebar. And like 2 seconds later, I just feel my weight, you know, your weight just pulling me down, and my fingers just like slipping, and I'm freaking out because there was no safety net. There was no like little bungee, you know, trampoline-ish thing on the bottom. It was just straight dark, right? And I knew that if I fell, it was a matter of life or death. So I was scared, filled with fear. And I turned and I looked to Isis. She had her seat. She was chilling. And she didn't say anything to me, but she just like looked at me. And I was like, I just began to pray. And this was like the most desperate prayer. Because if it was a matter of life or death, it's a desperate prayer that you're going to pray. I'm like, Lord, save me. Save me. And I'm like falling. And, you know, I start praying, but my prayer begins to change. It goes from this cry of desperation to me declaring faith. I was like, God, I trust in you. God, I trust in you. And as I began to say those words, my arms began to just strengthen. My grip became tighter. And I just had this peace that was, God was with me and I was going to make it to the other side. And so as I got this revelation, the seat just comes back under me and I just am able to sit down and I swing my way back to the other side. So I wake up from this dream and I'm like, what was that all about? And, you know, I remember I typed it out in an email to Christian. And as I was typing it out, I got revelation of what it was. See, so let me try to quickly describe this dream to you. This dream was talking about my relationship with Christian. We were on a journey. And there was a point, an obstacle that I had to go through. And it was something I had to go through. I was by myself, right? And so here I am, I'm at this gap, and I know I have to get to the other side. And for me, I believe that that other side was marriage. Because, you know, we talked about it already, and, you know, I knew that he was the one, even 4 months in. So the other side was marriage, and here we are, we're at this huge gap, and I have this swing contraption. I'm like, Lord, what is that? And I realized that that swing, the bottom part, the support that I sat on, that was the support of my family, something that I rested on my whole life. See, in the handlebar, what I was gripping on, what I was reaching high for, those were the promises of God. So here I am, I'm swinging to the other side, and I lose all support from my family. And that's exactly what happened. And all I had left to hold on to was the promises of God's faithfulness. But I was slipping. You know why? Because my flesh was heavy. And here I am trying to hold on for dear life. And it was only until I realized I had to pray where things began to change. And so I cried out to the Lord in desperation. And it was then my arms began to get strengthened. My grip got tighter. And I knew that God was going to take me to the other side. So the dream, it played out just like it did in real life. But see, the time between me praying and the seat actually coming back, my family support coming back and us reaching marriage, that wasn't like seconds. It was seconds in my dream, but in real life, that wasn't seconds. It took time. And even though God gave me that dream, and I believe it was a promise and a warning that my family was, the support was going to go. He was giving me a warning, and he was telling me that it was him. I'm doing this. This is my sovereignty, my hands. This is my work. And the second part was a promise. I'm going to get you to the other side. So those few seconds translated into a couple of months in real life. Those were the hardest months. They were so hard. Because even though I had this dream, I had this vision that I was holding on to, it's not easy when you see nothing happening in the natural, right? It wasn't easy. And so many times I felt my weight, my flesh, just bringing me down. And then I had to go back to prayer. It wasn't just a one prayer thing. It was a prayer, prayer, prayer thing. My husband was praying. The church was praying. Everybody was praying for us. But God is faithful. God is faithful. And we had a wonderful wedding. And that wedding, two people attended, my mom and my dad, and they were happy. And right now, it's a different story. My parents love Christian. My mom is in love with Christian. I'm a little jealous, actually, about that. I'm a little bitter, but that's a different message, right? But God is faithful. God is faithful. Anyway, needless to say, the joy of my marriage with my husband, it completely surpasses the pain and the hardship that we went through during that time. And I know for some of you, you guys are in the middle of that process, and it's getting harder and harder to persevere, to push through, and to wait on the Lord. See, in the natural, babies, they're born in 9 months. But in the spiritual, it's not so convenient. It's not just a 9-month process, but it's a process where we have to go through until completion in order for us to see fruit, right? So because we don't know the time, only the Lord knows the time, and His timing is perfect, amen? It takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of faith for us to persevere. So tonight, I want to go over 3 points that are going to help us. How does it sound? That sounds all right? All right, my first point is don't be surprised when it gets tough. Don't be surprised. You know, the devil, he loves to attack a promise in seed form. It's the most vulnerable then. How much easier is it to destroy a seed than a tree? See, what we forget all the time, we're so busy being scared of the enemy, we forget that he's afraid of us. That's the reality. He's afraid of us. He's afraid of the potential that you have inside of you growing to full fruition. He's scared of that. And we got to remember that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Brothers and sisters, we are stronger. We are stronger. See, the thing is, Satan tries to kill in infancy what he can't touch in adulthood. Let me say that again. Satan tries to kill in infancy what he can't touch in adulthood. So, with guns a-blazing, he's going to attack you. And don't be surprised about it. See, just like in the natural, when you're, you know, pregnant, the closer you are to giving the birth, the more natural, the more obvious it becomes. In the same way, in the spiritual, the closer we are to having birth, Satan, it just is more clear to Satan. Okay. Enemy sees when we're close. And he's going to do everything and anything to try to get us to abort. Because he can't touch that. See, that's the lie. He can't touch this, but he's going to try to get you to give up. See, that's his tactic right there. So don't be surprised when it gets tough. You know, I don't want to give so much attention to the devil because sometimes he's not everywhere. All right, a lot of the times our fight is with the flesh. And listen, process of pregnancy, it's naturally a painful one. See, you don't see a pregnant woman shocked after she experiences morning sickness or the swelling of her ankles or, you know, getting nauseous or back pains. Because she knows that's part of the process. In the same way, we got to be aware of what it takes. So you can't just plant a 9-month-old baby in someone's stomach, in someone's womb. There's no space for that. See, the process of pregnancy, it's the meaning of stretching. The woman's body begins to stretch so that the baby could grow. And in the same way, when God plants a seed, he takes you through a stretching process because he wants to make room for the seed to grow. See, it's painful. It's painful, brothers and sisters. But it's necessary. It's necessary in order for the promise to grow, to develop, to mature, and to progress. The closer you are to giving birth, the more painful it's going to get. Until the last possible moment when you're in labor, when you're experiencing the most excruciating pain, and then it's all over and the baby is born. John 16:21 in the NIV, it says, "A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because her joy that a child is born into the world." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18, ESV says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For the light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Amen. Do not be surprised. My second point is we must be spiritually healthy. See, the health of the mother affects the child in the womb. In the same way, our spiritual health, it affects our spiritual baby. Whatever the mother eats, the baby eats. So what are you feeding yourself today? That's important. Are you feasting on the word of God? Then you're feeding your baby strength, truth that cuts down any lies, hope, and faith. Or are you feeding yourself with poison like doubts, lies of the enemy, anxiety, discouragement? Poison like that will kill your vision. The Word of God, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it brings forth growth and life. So it is imperative that we read and we meditate on the Word, because it not only sustains our spiritual health, but also the health of our visions, of our dreams, and of the promises that we're carrying. We must also be living holy lives. We need to stay clean and pure. This is done by a constant cleansing of repentance. Because if you're living in sin and disobedience, that's the easiest way to abort a God-given vision. Easiest way. See, Moses, he had a promise from the Lord that he would deliver the Israelites out of Egypt and also to take them to the promised land. Now, Moses got the first part down, but the second part he never saw. That promise was aborted because he disobeyed. Actually, nobody in his generation saw the promised land because of disobedience. See, if a pregnant woman, she doesn't do a good job cleaning herself of all the germs that she collects throughout the day, it's so easy to bring sickness to her baby. Sin is like bacteria. Cleansing is crucial to health, and repentance is crucial to spiritual health. Our spiritual health, it's also determined by our prayer life. Prayer is like spiritual exercise, where we exercise our authority, where we exercise our faith. Prayer is spiritual warfare, and it's not easy. If you're out of shape, you will struggle. In 1 Kings, the Lord spoke to the prophet Elijah, and he told him that he was going to send rain. At the time, the land hadn't seen rain for a few years. In chapter 18, verses 42 and so on, it describes Elijah. He's bowing down, bowing himself down on the earth and putting his faith his face between his knees. See, this was the same position that a woman giving birth would go into. And Elijah, he pushed through that time of prayer. And six times he sent his servant to go and check for the rain. Six times that servant came back with nothing. And it was the seventh time. Seven, the number of completion. The seventh time when the servant came back and he saw a small little cloud. And then it began to pour rain. See, Elijah, he persevered. He held on to the word that God gave him, and he placed himself in the birthing position until it came to life. Elijah did not abort. He saw the promise of God being fulfilled. See, prayer is key. Prayer is key. Prayer is key. We must be spiritually healthy, brothers and sisters. Some of us, we have these great visions, but we're sick. And we wonder why these visions don't come to pass. My third point is that we must be in constant surrender to God's will. Most people fail to acknowledge the truth that the vision they have is not theirs, but it belongs to God. See, physical children that we have or will have, they belong to God as well. Those are His, and we need to surrender. See, think about when God asked Abraham to lay down Isaac. See, Isaac's birth was a miracle in itself. It was a fulfillment of God's covenant. But even if God gave it to us, we must always surrender it. See, people who believe in pro-choice, who believe that the women have the choice, that the woman's body belongs to her and therefore the baby belongs to her, and so she has a right to choose whether or not she'll have the baby, there's no God in that. There's no God in that whole explanation. See, the truth is that the baby was created by God and belongs to Him even while He's in the womb. See, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were, I consecrated you." See, it's easy to give up on something when you believe it's yours. Oh, it's just mine. It's my silly dream. I could just give up on it. But it's a different story when you realize that it belongs to God. Every vision, every hope, every promise placed inside of you was created by our Heavenly Father. That's not your imagination. It's not about us, brothers and sisters. He creates it so that he can get the glory. All the glory. See, he plants it inside of us that we would be responsible to carry it unto completion. Therefore, we must be in surrender to God's will. The vision itself is his will. How the vision is to be fulfilled is his will. When the vision is to come to pass is his will. We must surrender. Otherwise, you know what happens? We end up with Ishmaels in our hands. A man-made attempt to fulfill a God-given promise. Some of you guys have great visions and you're holding on to it. But the one thing that you're forgetting to do is surrender it. God gave me this vision. This is from the Lord. Yeah, that's great. But he's telling you right now, you must surrender it. It must be done my way, on my time, the way I want it to be done, because it's his. See, we got to be like Joseph. Joseph had that dream. Two dreams, actually. It took him a long time to see that come to birth, right? He went through a lot of things. And it was so easy. There's so many moments where he could have aborted, where he could have just given up, where he could have said that God wasn't there for him. But no, he stayed righteous. He stayed spiritually healthy. He knew that it was going to be hard. He wasn't surprised. And he surrendered every single step to the Lord. And that's why his dream became a reality. So are you pregnant today? Are you pregnant with a promise or a vision that you have yet to see fulfilled? God is calling you to persevere. Don't be surprised when it gets tough. Stay spiritually healthy and surrender, constantly surrender it to the Lord. Hebrews 10:23 says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." God is faithful, brothers and sisters. God is faithful. Do not abort what he placed inside of you, but be pro-life and fight. Fight. Fight to see every single vision, every single promise come to fruition. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just confess that there are so many things that you place inside of us that we have aborted. Father God, that we have given up on, that we walked away from, Lord. Promises for our family, promises for our future. Father God, all those things that we thought we came up with ourselves, Lord, they were from you and we walked away from it. We aborted it. Lord, and we just repent. God, we just come to you in repentance right now, Lord. Father God, and there is a call, there is a mighty call right now to persevere. A mighty call to persevere because, Lord, you placed something inside each of us. We were all made with a specific purpose and for a specific plan. God, even collectively, Lord, you promised a Niagara Fall anointing for this church. Oh God, and we pray right now, Lord, we believe that we're going to hold steadfast, Lord. Father God, we're going to stay. We're going to push through. We're not going to be surprised when it gets hard. We're going to stay spiritually healthy, Lord. And we're going to surrender it to the Lord. And we're going to see it come to fruition, God, in your way, in your time. Father God, there's even a greater baby. This movement that you're doing in Seoul right now with the English ministries, God. Lord, last Saturday, we saw just a sonogram, Lord. That wasn't the baby. That was a sonogram. That was a glimpse of what is for me. But Lord, there is more to come. Father God, and you are calling us to persevere, Lord, to hold fast unswervingly. Oh, to the hope that we profess, Father God, because we're fixing our eyes on you. For the God that promises you, you are faithful. God, when we hold on to things and we try to do things our way, Lord, we destroy the vision. But Father God, we surrender it. We surrender it. All the visions that you place inside of us, we lay it down before you, knowing that you are the one to bring it to fruition, not us, God. Lord, I even pray for those that feel like they're barren, that feel like they have no vision inside of them, that have been praying for vision, but Father God, nothing has been coming. Father God, I pray that you give them a hunger for your word. Father God, your word is filled with promises, Lord. It is filled with promises that you're desiring and waiting for us to birth. So Lord, Father God, would you put that word, that hunger for your word in their hearts right now? Break that curse of barrenness, Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, you do things your way so that you can get all the glory. God, you do things your way so you can get all the glory. Father God, and we agree, that's what we want. That's what we want to see, Lord. Do things your way in our lives, God. Do things your way in the visions that you've given us. Do things your way, God, in the promises that we're holding on to, Lord, so that you may receive all the glory. May you be glorified. May you be lifted up. In your son's mighty and precious name, we pray all these things. Amen.